Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Come on. You know, that song reminds me of Gideon in the Bible. The Lord had Gideon come up against the enemy, against thousands and thousands of enemy, maybe 20,000 of the enemy. And the Lord gathered the people of the land, and He said, "You have too many. We're going to narrow this out. Tell everybody who has fear to go home." Yes. And I can't remember the number, but it was like 20,000 went home. And then He had the rest of them go up, and they judged on how they lapped water out of the creek. And there were 300 that did it in the right way. And they came up against that multitude of people that were their enemies. And God fought that battle for them. They didn't even have to use their swords. The enemy defeated themselves. When we have something coming against us, whether we have people standing with us or not, we have to trust in the Lord, because He fights our battles for us. Do you trust in the Lord? Nothing can defeat us if we're walking in God's Word. Thank you so much.
Good morning, church. I was writing this poem all last week. I've been studying the Bible in Ephesians and in Revelation about the body of Christ and how we should be coming together. And this is just what He gave me. A lot of it was this morning, but some of it was last week. Let us enter the ark of Jesus before He shuts the door. The door is closing soon. This we can't ignore. The day is coming soon when Jesus will return. So, Savior, purge our hearts and help Your church return. Help our hearts to be on fire, to glorify only You. Help Your beloved to repent, our spirits to renew. For Jesus waits for us. We're a part of His bride. He wants us together, not broken inside. Our separation causes Him pain. Don't quarrel or fight. Give the Savior full rein. Christ broke down the barrier of the dividing wall with His death on the cross and forgiveness to all who accept Him. He's our foundation, our peace. If we look to Him through faith, our battles might cease. But we must work together to enter His ark. So bow down, repent. Yes, He will heal, but if we don't work together, this can't be fulfilled. We are His workmanship on which He will build. So use your gifts and shine your light, for Christ will transform us. We don't need to fight, but stand together in faith, for the division will fall. We know in His word, He has knocked down the wall. He is our victory. And we are His stones on which He will build till we are full grown. Amen.
You know, I was just talking to my dad this morning. I've been reading this book that I've really enjoyed that I didn't really expect to enjoy as much as I do, but it's written by the owner of Hobby Lobby, And it talks about, like, unconventional leadership. Like, that the world sees leadership as one thing, but, you know, we're called to be different, right? And one of the things that really has stuck out to me in this book so far is that this book is not really written about, like, look at these things that I did and they're, you know, because this company in 2022 is projected to be an $8 billion company. So, like, the truth is that He's done great things, yeah. But this book is just so awesome because none of it is about that. And it's all about how God changed his perspective in running a business. And his perspective changed because he figured out that when God speaks to us day to day, that we got to apply it, right? And that's the thing, is he's been applying these things to his company for years and years. They just hit their 50th anniversary. He's been applying them for all these years, and he's seen where God has taken him to moments where he thought, because of business, this is the way I should do it. And God said, you're not going to do that. And he said, one of the hardest things for us to do is to do something completely contrary to what we know and what we've learned. But if we do it, the reward is so great. It's the same thing in our lives every single day. We come up on things constantly, whether it's our finances, personal finances, whether it's a report that you got from the doctor, whether it's whatever it might be, that there's a lot of times a calling for you to do contrary to what the world thinks that you should do. But God gives us promises in the Bible to stand upon for a reason. Because when you come in these moments in your life, those things will come forth in you and you'll know, God, you said that by your stripes I've been healed. You have said that I'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You have given me joy. You have given me the ability to be more than a conqueror through you. They're all promises, church. They're not just words in a book. They're things you are meant to apply in your life, even in the moments where you feel there is no way. He's saying, I made a way for you. Every single thing that you come up on in your life is not something that just is like a, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Maybe for you, but for God, he saw it coming way ahead of time, and he's been preparing you for the moment. But the problem is so often we are so focused on what's happening in front of us and what we're seeing happening in our life that we're not doing what we already knew he told us to do. It kind of goes into the background because the noise and the busyness of life, just we begin to focus on that. But the promise never goes away. It's still there, and he's wanting to fight that battle for you. He didn't bring this battle into your life to just leave you at that moment and say, good luck. He brought you to moments for growth, and a lot of times that growth is him showing, I will take care of this in your life if you allow me to take care of it in your life. You gotta let down the fight. You gotta put it down and say, God, it's yours, because anything that you do is nothing compared to what he can do in your life for you. It's why the Bible talks about life more abundantly. It's not just this like, oh, it happened in my life. No, it's a process of God building you up, teaching you, giving you things, showing you things, and allowing you to grow and move forward. And you just begin to see these things take place in your life, and you begin to see the blessing of God's hand on your life, and you just begin to see that he's got so much more. And that's where the life more abundantly comes in, because now you're walking in the kingdom. You're not walking according to the rules of this world and the way that things go. It's why, church, people will be drawn to who you are. Church is just church when there is nothing happening in the spirit. People play religion all the time. It's why people do things in the name of religion that you just go, gosh, that was not okay. But it's because people are choosing to make choices on their own when God's saying, just look to me and I will show you what to do. It's why it's so important even for this church to learn to function according to the Spirit and not just going because an obstacle comes forth, because something happens, we decide we're going to pivot on our own. It's important to know what God is saying to you. It's vital to your growth. It's vital to your ministry. It's vital to everything that God wants to do in your life. It's why the church begins to see a clear separation. Not because you're over there telling somebody this is what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, and this is what you're doing wrong. No, because you're living a life that is a reflection of the Father, a reflection of the one who created you, a reflection of everything that He designed you to be. It's why communion is so important in your life. It's why it's important to be reading the Bible. It's why it's important to be praying. It's why it's important to be hearing the things that God has for you, because He's got something personally for you, specific to where you're at and what's going on in your life. And I guarantee you, if you just begin to let Him lead you in these areas, that you'll begin to see things in your life just begin to change.
We have prayer before a service at 9 o'clock, and sometimes we get a scripture. This is my scripture for today, and it confirms what Becca has been talking about. But it's to the Colossians, in Colossians 2:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, not what you think, but what the Spirit is leading you to do, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We need to be in the Word to know what His will is in our life. Being strengthened with all power according to the glorious might. Oops, I lost it.
Nine. Sorry. Oh, sorry, guys. I lost it. But anyway, let us be still and know that He is God. Be led of the Spirit, and don't just do what you want to do. Be still and know what God wants you to do.
You know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, because He confirms via various people. And this morning has been a total confirmation for me. Before we went into praying, just like Pastor said, the Lord brought that scripture. Well, not only did that scripture tie in to what we heard, the word that we heard today through songs. There were lots of words coming from the Lord through these songs. But before that even happened, I always pray to the Lord, what is it that you want to say in our prayer time? And what I heard this morning ties completely into what's going on right now. I had no idea, but the Holy Spirit knew. Yeah, and what He said was, go to the mountain. Go to the mountaintop. Be with me. Hear from me. Walk with me. And all of this just ties in together. That's what He's calling. The good Lord is calling us all to go to the mountaintop and spend time with Him. Hear Him. Hear what He has to say to you. What He has to say for your life. Where He wants you. What He wants you doing. He loves us. You know, that song about a friend, it really touched me, because what is it that we do with our friends? Do we not spend time with them? Do we not encourage them? Do we not send messages to them because we want to encourage them? That's what our Lord wants. That's what our Abba Father wants. He wants you to go to that mountaintop so that He can whisper love, sweet words of love, and encouragement, because he is our friend. Amen. Amen.
How's everybody this morning? Praise God. Are you happy in the Lord this morning? Yeah, come on. Let me just clap. Give the Lord a clap offering, if you will. Just say, hey, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, all that you're doing. Father, thank you, Lord. It's so good. So good. How many know God is good? Amen. Yeah, he is. He's a good God. We serve a good God. How many say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love worshiping. Man, I want to jump around up here, but I'll get tangled up in wires and everything else. Isn't that right, Steve? Yeah. I need to get me some of that equipment that just that little antenna hangs off my back end, and I can run around where I want. I can see me playing the guitar in the back over there somewhere for you guys. Come on. I get a little excited. Amen?
Amen.
I love worshiping God. We need our lives to be a worship. Your life just be a worship time of God. How many say amen to that? You know what I'm talking about? Everything that you do, everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, that God would just continue to worship God in everything that you're doing. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is so good. He really is in control. How many say amen?
Amen.
And praise God. Been talking a little bit about the smearing, how the oil of the Lord is placed upon us and everything. And so somehow, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit wants me to continue to speak about anointing and what God has done for us. That if you've given your heart to the Lord, you're anointed. How many know that? God has given you a chunk of His Spirit to live. The Holy Spirit lives within you. I don't even call it a chunk. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. And so you're anointed. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. You've got an anointing on. You've got an unction. You've got a calling. God has placed things upon you that a lot of we don't even understand. Can you say amen to that? But God, by His Spirit, it's His job. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in the Wednesday night. And God, it's His job to take you to where He had, to the things He has for you. It's the Holy Spirit's work. It's what He's doing with you. So it's so important that we pay attention to what's going on around us by listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. When He calls you to the mountain, go to the mountain. Amen. When He calls you to your knees next to your bed, go to the bed. Amen. Go to your knees next to your bed. Whatever the Holy Spirit, you feel like the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, it's important that we begin to step into those things. Is that okay? Is that all right? The Word of God tells us to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Be led. Can I tell you that when He leads, He's taking you somewhere good. Is that okay? He's not trying to get you in trouble. Though trouble might come to me, huh? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He's not trying to get you in trouble. He's trying to take you someplace. He's trying to build you. He's trying to strengthen you. And so when it says be led by the Spirit, I would say to you as a pastor, be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you to Leviticus. How many like the book of Leviticus? I mean, it's all good. How many of you know the Word of God is good? It's all good. I mean, there's every part of the Word of God is good. But, you know, I have a tendency when I'm reading through, I kind of skip through Leviticus pretty quick. Because, hey, okay, I'll read it. I'll put my marker and I'll read. I say, okay, all right, God, I'm getting through it. But it's almost like God is saying, well, why don't you pay attention when you're reading through that? And I mean, how many have ever read... And then you're thinking about your neighbor's yard or something. It looks ugly, man, you know. But you're reading God's word at the same time. Anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Maybe you guys don't, but I do sometimes. But Leviticus is one of those books, man, that if you read it, you can get a lot out of it. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good stuff in Leviticus. It really is. That sometimes the book itself can be tedious, talking about the priests and all the things that they're doing and all. It can just get kind of tedious. You know what I mean? Look at your neighbor and say, tedious.
Tedious.
Yeah. Ask them what that means. What does that mean? get ahead of it. Anyway, Leviticus chapter 8. We're going to start at Leviticus chapter 8. Here's what the word of God says is, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take Aaron and his sons with him and the garments and the anointing oil and a bullock for the sin offering, two rams and a basket of unleavened bread. I'm going to stop right. Just set you up a little bit. This is kind of the order that God was giving Moses to do to Aaron before they opened up shop. Is that okay? When God was having them build a tabernacle, I love the end of the last chapter of Exodus, because it's talking about this, what we're reading right now. This, what we're reading right now, is a little more detail of what God was telling Moses to do. And when you look at it at the end of Exodus, it's the scriptures say that, and Moses finished building the tabernacle. And it's like God was all right, now I'm going to come in, right? It's like God is excited about moving into the tabernacle and doing the things that allowing the children of Israel to be covered with a sacrifice. Is that okay? God was excited about covering the children of Israel with a sacrifice so that he could talk to them. Is that good?
Yeah.
That's a good deal. God was excited about it. And so this is just part of what God was telling Moses to do to the priests before they even sacrificed one bullock. One sacrifice. This is what Moses was telling. This is what God was telling Moses to do. So I'm going to start again. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons and with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and the bullock for a sin offering, two rams and a basket of unleavened bread. Gather thou all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Moses did. And he put upon him the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with a curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. So Moses is in the middle of dressing this guy. Is that okay? Moses is putting all these garments on Aaron. And he put upon him, and he put the breastplate upon him, and he put in the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim. I guess I said that wrong. It's Urim and Thurim. Look at your neighbor and say Urim and Thurim. Urim and Thurim. Urim and Thurim. That's cool. I always wonder what these words meant. So a while back, I don't know, I kind of looked them up and. The Urim, everybody say Urim. It means light or lights of oracular brilliance. Light or lights of oracular brilliance. That word oracular caught me by surprise. Because when you're looking at something, you see something brilliant. It's you know, the word more is like optical brilliance, would you say? When you're looking at it, it'd be more like optical brilliance, but this is oracular brilliance. I can't even say it right. But oracular brilliance is a type of speaking. Isn't that cool? This thing that was placed in the breastplate, I don't know what they were. It doesn't really say what they were, but they were types, or they were little trinkets, maybe, or maybe even I don't know. But doesn't say whether they were stones, diamonds, rocks. Doesn't say whether it was wood chips. Doesn't say really what they are. But they represented this light of oracular brilliance. In other words, being able to speak well. Okay? How many know Jesus was like that? Do you know that? See this thing that's garb that they're putting on these priests? They're all about Jesus. Everything about it's about Jesus and who he is and what he's doing. and this oracular brilliance, didn't they come back and say, because they said, hey, go see if you can trap him in his words. Hey, should we give tribute to Caesar or not? Jesus said, hey, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what belongs to him. See, men belong to God. Amen? Amen. All souls are mine is what the Lord says. You all belong to God. All those folks out there, they belong to God, whether they know it or whether they receive it or not, whether they care or not, they all belong to God. They will give an account to God. How many say amen? Amen. Everybody will. Everybody's going to. These guys came back and they said, hey, nobody's ever talked like him. He shuts everybody down. Is that cool? He had an oracular, how do you say it, brilliance in his speaking and the way he talked to folks. That's just the way he was. How many of you like that? That's our King. That's our Lord. Oh, yeah, come on, Lord. Say what you want to say, Lord. Just say it. Amen. And these, I guess they were emblems, I guess, if you will, that they were shoved into the breastplate. That was one. The Urim. Everybody say Urim. Or then the Thummim. You got the Thummim. It's kind of weird. And it means, the word means perfections. It says, it was placed in the breastplate. It is an emblem of complete truth. Yeah, the Urim and the Thurim. One was their ability to speak with brilliance. The other thing was a completeness in truth. That's Jesus. How many say amen? Amen. That's who Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus is the truth. There is no other truth but Jesus. Amen? Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. We're living a day, folks, where truth can be anything. Is that right? Yeah. It's how few folks want to look at it. They're like, well, I don't believe that. Well, what do you believe? I believe cats come from dogs. Crazy. That's about what we're looking at right now, folks. Isn't that right? That's about what it is. And you say, hey, don't tell him anything because then you'll be offending him. No, he's stupid, man. You know what? Come on, man. Oh, boy. I'm gonna get in trouble for that. Huh? Yeah. I'm gonna have some people calling me. Hey, man, shouldn't be saying stuff like that. Well, it's true though. Is that right? Yeah. We live in a time where folks, man, they need to hear truth. Yeah. And I believe God has given every one of you oracular brilliance to bring out truth. Amen. You know why? Because the Spirit dwells in you. He dwells in you. He lives in you. Amen. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost is what the Bible says. Amen. The temple. Ooh, come on. You're complete in him. That's what it says. All right, we'll move on. And he put the breastplate upon him, and he put in the breastplate, the Urim and the Urim and the Thurim. Thummim, sorry. Anyway, and he put the mitre upon his head, also the mitre even upon his forefront. He did put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. They put on him this hat, and on the front of the hat they hung a gold plate, and that gold plate said, "Holiness to the Lord." Holiness, amen. How many know? And it's covering his head. It's covering his brainiac. Would you say that? Yeah. Where his brain is. This mitre is sitting on his head, and it's got this thing. It says, "Holiness to the Lord." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit dwells in you. He's bringing holiness into your life. He's bringing a separation from the world into the kingdom of God. He's separating these things for you by his Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? His Spirit is doing a work within you. You got to let him do it. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to let him speak to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Moses took the anointing oil, here we go, and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats on them, girded them with girdles, put bonnets upon them, and the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. And he slew it. And Moses took the blood, put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. I'm going to stop there. Hopefully you'll see that Moses was dressing these guys. Do you see that? You see in the scriptures how Moses was putting garments on them? Folks, Moses is a type of the Holy Ghost. He's a type, an Old Testament type of the Holy Spirit, and how Moses was putting all these things on these priests that were going to do the sacrifices. Here Moses is. He's acting like the Holy Spirit. At first I kind of thought, well, what's Moses doing? How come he's doing all the work? It's because he is God's messenger to them. Is that right? Moses told him, this is what God told me to do. Boom. He was the messenger to them. And so he was a type of the Holy Spirit putting all these things on him. But it was all on the outside. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit dwells within us? Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go. So here we went through a little bit of Torah. Would you guys like Torah? We went through a little bit of Torah, talked to you a little bit about Torah. But everything in the Torah always points to Jesus. Do you know that? Even though the Pharisees didn't get it. They said, what? Are you kidding me? You're the Son of God? Yeah, right. Whatever. So I'm going to take you to, let's go to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to show you. I told you about how the Lord had spoken to me about not anointing flesh. I always want to anoint, put on the hair and everything. But I want to talk to you today about a time where the flesh was anointed. Okay? Because the Bible says that the flesh profits nothing. Is that right? Is that correct? So you basically don't anoint the flesh. You don't put any oil on it. If you're going to put it on, put it on their hair. Is that right? If they ain't got any hair... Pastor John's raising his hands. Where did Rick go? If they ain't got no hair, your voice, your words are anointed. Anoint them with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But you can use oil because the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's all it is. It's just a type. Holy anointing oil comes all the way from Israel. Let's use this one. Yeah, it's better. It's just a type, folks. It's not better. It's speaking about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So I told you, hey, you never anoint the flesh. Well, here, listen to this story. Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 1, it says this: after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. We're getting close to Jesus' arrest and two days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how that they might take him by craft to put him to death. Isn't that a sad message? The chief priests were looking to put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar with the people. People are going to get mad at us if we do that. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? People, amen? And just folks. for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Always an excuse. Amen?
Yep.
What was this made? Hey, we could have sold it for this much and given it to the poor. Oh, would you have given it to the poor? Really? You would have given all that money to the poor? Really? Oh, folks, it kind of speaks about how folks are. Is that right? Can I tell you, we will pick each other apart if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. Amen? We would pick on each other, man. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and what God does, He places within your heart, He places love, patience. How many like to have patience? You know, God has really taught me how to have patience with people. Really has. I guess maybe about five little words. Don't let it bother you. Hey, Lord, what about? Don't let it bother you. Okay. He's really began to teach me how to have patience. Trust me, Henry. Trust me. Trust me. Okay, I'll trust you. I'll trust you, Lord. How many trust the Lord? Come on, man. How many of you trust your finances? How many trust your health? How many trust your provision? All that's got to come from the Lord. Your trust has to come from the Lord.
Amen.
Has to be in the Lord. Is that okay? Glory to God. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you don't have always. You have not always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of her for a memorial." So apparently Jesus thought it was very important. Is that right? Apparently Jesus found it to be very... How many of you know that God has timing with people? This lady just happened to show up where he was at. Is that okay? At a perfect time. Would you say that? How many know that God's timing is perfect? Do you know that?
Yeah.
We get a little rushed. Is that right? We get a little antsy. Gotta see it now. God, do you want me to or don't you? Will you just answer me? Come on, God. What do you say? You know? We get a little antsy, but God's timing is always perfect. It always has been and always will be. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he's going to do for you even before you started. Is that right? He knows what he's going to do with you even before you even started this planet. He knows. So you can trust him. You can allow him to do, take you where he wants you, to show you what he wants you to do. His timing is perfect. And in walks this lady, breaks this box, goes over to Jesus and anoints him. And then they stirs up the snakes. Is that right? You see, she was anointing the priest for the sacrifice. Oh, it wasn't, what I love about when God does things with people, he opens their hearts and they have this love and something happens. She was probably not the best citizen of that town. Do you know that? Do you know that? She was not well, she was, you know, spoken of. Do you know that? And yet here she has a heart where she went in and anointed the Lord. You see, because the sacrifice, the high priest that does the sacrifice, like Aaron, had to be anointed for that work. Is that okay? Here, the high priest is Jesus. Amen? Here, let me just show you that real quick. Hey, go to Hebrews chapter... If you're taking notes, it's Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says this. that's 3:12. It's 3:1 and 2. Yeah. But hey, take heed, brethren, lest there be an in heart of you and a heart of unbelief. That's a good scripture, amen? But it should be 3:1-2. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, and then it says the high priest of our profession. See, Jesus was the high priest. Is that right? He is the high priest. Not was, he is the high priest. Next verse. Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. See, here's talking about Moses and Christ, and he's saying, look, Christ is the high priest, not Aaron, which he was, but Jesus is the high priest of our profession. That's who he is. And the next verse is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. This is going to be in the NIV. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. This is Jesus. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. If you're Abraham's descendant, raise your hand. You're a child of faith, you need to raise your hand. Hallelujah, if you believe in God. For this reason, he had to be made like them. Like who? Like us. Amen? He had to be made like them. Fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Here it is right here. That he might make the atonement. So he took upon him your sins. Is that okay? Yeah. Are you glad? Yes. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Does anybody in this house not ever get tempted? Come on, man. Do you never get tempted? Do you ever get tested or tried? If you never get tempted, I would advise you to look again. Because God really does set things for you so that he can show you what's in your heart so he can remove it. Is that okay? Yeah. So he can cleanse it, so he can get you free from what's troubling you. Is that okay? Yeah. God wants his people free. He wants it so much, he sent his son to die for you so that you might be free. Like the Pharisees say, well, we've never been in bondage. Is what Jesus said, hey, if you sin, you need to be set free. You need to be, Terry, made free. Is that right? The Holy Spirit makes you free. Is that right? How does he do that? He cooks your soul. Amen?
Yep.
Somebody said, why do you say cooks your soul? I said, because a fire comes into your life. Is that right? A heavenly fire comes in, and it begins to burn out those things that are contrary to him. He's going to cook your soul. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Come on. Somebody said, man, it smells like roast beef cooking. No, man. God is in the business of getting us clean. Can I say that to you?
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh, glory to God. Praise God. I'm going to go back to this woman. You see, this woman anointed the priest for the sacrifice. That's what she was doing to Jesus. She anointed him. It's a beautiful story. I want to take you to that story. He says, let's look at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. There's some people say this is a different Simon, but I in my spirit, I know this is the same Simon. In this story, it says that Simon is a Pharisee. In the one where we read in Mark, it said Simon was a leper. But I like it when God's word calls out the name. Is that right? There's a reason for it. And I've heard it said that these are two different Simons, but it's just kind of coincidental that Simon, a lady broke an alabaster box in his house, And then Simon the Pharisee, a lady broke the alabaster box in his house. I think it's the same Simon. So here we go. It says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, right? Yeah. Wednesday night, we talked about all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Is that right? Yeah. How many folks, everybody was a sinner at one time or another. Is that right? Yeah. Everybody had gone through that path. Is that right? Yeah. How many of you went through that path? Yeah. How many like that path when you're in it? I didn't like it. I was in it. I never liked it. I thought I liked it. I was deceived. Can you say amen? Yeah. I was deceived. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him. I was raised in church. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. He turned out to be my pastor later on, but when I was talking to him in the electrical vault, he asked me, do you know Jesus? I said, no, I'm Catholic. He goes, I didn't ask you what you were. I asked you if you knew Jesus. No, sir, I don't know. Do you want to know him? Oh, yes, sir, I want to know him. He went down to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, I like to say this guy, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that touches him. For she is a what?
Sinner.
She's a sinner. Okay. Does Jesus have problems with sinners? He had no problem at all. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he says, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? How many, I'm going to say it again. How many, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, right? Yeah. Simon also, right? Simon was a sinner, but he was a Pharisee. And he thought he had Jesus. Or, I don't know, but he says, which one will he love the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I love this. There's something about these scriptures right here where Jesus, he's talking to Simon, hey buddy, let me ask you a question. And then when he talks to her, he turns to the woman and looks right at her. He says, Simon, you see this woman? And Jesus is not looking at Simon. He's looking at the woman. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Jesus is going full on with this woman. This compassion that he has for her. She's a sinner. Yeah, but the Simon goes, yeah, but she's a sinner, Lord. No. Jesus said, do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of my head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say with themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And Jesus said to the woman, hey, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Isn't it beautiful? And a beautiful story. It's beautiful how Jesus responded to this woman. I feel the Holy Spirit. Ava, I need Psalm 51. Let me see if I can find it. I need Psalm 51. Verse 16 and 17. Can you put that up? Sorry. I feel the Lord saying, this is what the Lord looks at, okay? Psalm 51, 16 and 17. For you desired not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delighted not in burnt offerings, what God, David is talking to God. And then he says this, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, this is what Jesus saw. It was a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. She was a sinner. You know what? She actually sacrificed herself when she went into that house. Do you know that? She was taking a big risk. She was not, you can even see it by Simon. What is this woman doing here? What is she doing in my house? Servants, get over here. No, man. She went in. She sacrificed her lifetime savings, which could have been in that box of ointment, because they said it was very expensive. She sacrificed that and gave it to the Lord. She sacrificed maybe either her pride or her shame, whichever. Whether it was pride or shame, and she sacrificed it because, you know, hey, you can't go in there. You can't go in there. Can you imagine what's going on in her head? You can't go in there. All she had was a broken and contrite heart for the Lord. And she went in and she did what she knew she had to do. Beautiful, beautiful story. Oh, Jesus loved it. How many say amen to that? Jesus, oh yeah. Oh, my daughter. Go your way. Your sins are forgiven. Woo. Stirs up the nest. Is that right? Yeah. People didn't understand who this Jesus was. Praise God. The sacrifice. Ready for sacrifice. How many of you are ready for sacrifice? How many of you have sacrificed already? Are you ready for sacrifice? I'm just going to end with these two. This last Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to read it in the King James, and I want to read it in the Passion Translation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I heard somebody say one time, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. Yeah, because they're alive. That's why when Abraham took his son Isaac up there, he tied him up. Amen? Yep. He bound him up, put him on there. Because he can't, man, you got to say, can't go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I tell you, there's a good will of God going on in your life? You get to know God a little more. It becomes more acceptable. But then God wants to get you to that perfect will that he has for you. Can you say amen to that? God has everything for you. He's already designed life for you. And he says, if you listen to me, it's life and life more abundant. Do you understand that? But you got to quit thinking the way you think. Is that okay? You got to sacrifice those thoughts. You got to sacrifice those desires. You got to sacrifice those things because you died the minute you gave your heart to Jesus. You died. It's given unto men once to die, and that's where you died. You died at the cross. And he's bringing you back. He's resurrecting you by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing more life and more life and more life back into you. But let's read this in the TPT. It says this, beloved friends. I like the way he said it. Friends. Come on. Friends. Amen. You know how many friends listen to friends? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, you all my friends, listen to me. Okay? Listen to what the Word of God is saying. It's a beloved friends. What should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. Isn't that cool? And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. I like this, verse 2. You know, where King James says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Here he says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. Rebecca said something about that this morning, and it hit me, that scripture right away, where talking about that guy from, what was that? The Hobby Lobby? Yeah. Hobby Lobby. Hey, you see, we have to be determined to understand that God wants to lead us and guide us into everything. You might be trained really well in how to be president of the United States, but God might have a better idea. How many say amen to that? Is that okay? You see, because His kingdom is what matters. The Word of God says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Doesn't mean wise according to this world. It means wise according to the kingdom of God. That's what it means. It's how His kingdom operates. It's how He wants to run things. It's how the Holy Spirit will design things to operate in a way that will prosper you in a way that you never thought. Because He loves you and He paid a price for you and He cares about you. So it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. We can't take on these things the way the world operates. We cannot. We have to focus on what God is saying to us and operate in those things. Be led by the Spirit. If He's not leading you, if He's not telling you to do something, try not to do it. Wait for Him. He says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You will be strengthened and guided by His Spirit. Amen. That's His promise. Amen. When He says, call upon you, He says, call upon me and I will what? And I will help you and I will answer you is what He says. You cannot call upon Him and He won't answer. That's not God. He already told you, call upon me and I'll answer you. Call upon me and I will help you. Your life has to be dependent upon God. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly, what? Transformed. How are you inwardly transformed? Right here, by the Holy Ghost. Through a total reformation of how you, what?
Think.
Everybody go ahead.
Think.
Yeah, okay. Some of you are asleep. Nobody's going like that, so I've got your right. But how you think. God wants you to think the way He thinks. Is that right?
Yeah.
This is where He says, God has given us the mind of Christ. He doesn't think like our old man. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He doesn't think the old way. He thinks in new ways. Is that right? Yeah. He opens up new things. But you have to have a desire deep within you to say, God, I'm gonna walk and I'm going to go after the things you have for me. The Holy Spirit is in the business of a total reformation. Do you see that? It says that a total reformation of the way you think. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your ways. He wants you to think the way He thinks. He's given you the mind of Christ. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Can I say amen? Can you say amen to that? That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to bring you to what He has for you. You're not too old. How many say amen?
Amen.
You're never too old for this. Some folks say, yeah, we'll let the kids handle that. You know, hey, I'm already out at the pasture. Is that right? It's not right. I mean, yeah. That's not right. Don't be telling yourself you're ready to go. Is that right? God's got you here. You're breathing. You're alive. See, God, I might be 107 years old, but God, I know you got something for me. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. How many are expecting a long life?
Amen.
Yeah. Can I just say this to you? Eternal life is a long life.
Yes.
So everybody should have both hands in the air. Say, man, I'm expecting a long life. I'm expecting to live and not die. How many say amen to that? God has created you to live and not die. He's created you to withstand the storms of life. Is that right?
Amen.
Not the storms of death, the storms of life. Withstand them by the mind of Christ, by having your mind transformed by the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand. Abe, I love his shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. Flight. Thank you, Mel. Glory to God.
It's kind of dangerous to stop on Romans 12 because I could talk all day about that. Funny that pastor is talking about, like, you know, about living sacrifices. The problem is that they're trying to get off the altar. Because I mean, that's where we're really called to, right? Just to be a living sacrifice. And it says in the NIV team, Pastor John, let's go. it says that it's your true and proper worship. That's not just something that happens when you're singing to God, but it's actually in the way you live your life.
Amen.
And we need to remember that every moment, that our true and proper worship is about how we live our lives for God. And we should know that, you know, God has planned so many things for us, and it's just us choosing to accept that. A lot of times that part we're trying to sacrifice is what's holding us back. If we just let go of what we think what we want, if we let go of what we think we need to do, we'll be so much happier. We'll be so much more at peace, and we'll be so much more successful. You know, God really does look at what we do with our lives. I don't know if you saw this, but when he's talking to Mark about the woman that put all the perfume on his feet and anointed him, it says, "Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." It's like not only like talking about Jesus and the thing that he did on the cross, but it's saying we also talk about her. And it seems like such a small thing. And it's recorded for history forever. So know that when God asks you to do something, he cherishes it just the same way. Because you're just as special, you're just as unique as this woman that's in the Bible here. Every one of us is. So if you would bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you help us to make it easy to let go of those things that we need to let go of. And not only that, but those things that keep us from not necessarily sin, but those things that keep us from fulfilling your destiny, your purpose for us, Lord. Help us to let go of those things as well. Give us an understanding that there is power in doing your work, Lord. That there's such a life ahead of us. If we follow you, if we have a relationship with you, if we truly understand the love you have for us and your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.